Good morning. It's going to be a glorious day today. Today is Children's Sabbath. We're going to celebrate and have some assistance from some wonderful children in our church that are going to help us. So we have a double platform here this morning, and I'll kind of stand to the side and do a little leading, guiding. We're very excited about today. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to remember what it was like to be a child and have the children help us in this service. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist. We're so glad you've come out on this rainy, cloudy morning to worship with us here. My name is Don Shipley. I'll be the liturgist this morning, assisting in the service. We have a few announcements, one of which is to be sure and fill out the attendance pad at the inside part of the pew there, so we'll have a record of your attendance, and we can make contact with those that would like to be contacted after today. So let me just get this over here in front of me. Hog on the Hill. How many would love to have a bright, sunshiny day for that? I'm a barbecue cook, so I would too. But we're still going to have a wonderful time. It'll be a blessing. We have quite a bit of excitement. We do have some barbecue. We have some food trucks. I guess nothing's changed, has it?
The petting zoo
is outside. We're moving everything else inside or so. Okay, we're pretty much going to try to be inside, stay out of the weather. But come, enjoy, and bring your neighbors and friends with you so we can continue to raise some money for our youth and our ADC group, but also reach the community. It's a good time for us to fellowship with our community around our church. So, and there's pumpkins out there that we can all buy too. So, October 21st, next Sunday, is Laity Sunday. Come hear Diane Wright, Jenny Curris, Cable Conrad's. They will bring Spirit-filled messages to us next Sunday. That'll be another blessing and a special service and time of service here in our church. Also, next Sunday at 3 p.m. at the St. James United Methodist, you're all invited to the District Charge Conference. So that's at 3 p.m. next Sunday afternoon at St. James. Don't forget to support the pumpkins. They'll be on sale all the way till the 31st. So come by. They're all day long through the week. People are out there selling the pumpkins. Come support our youth and our children's ministry and our day school. Now, in the bulletin, you'll just see how alive our church is. There's so many opportunities to share with our Christian fellowship here at Asbury, but also with our neighbors and our ministries. Find some place, engage. We have a wonderful church, and it's an exciting time as we enter fall this year. With that, let's all join together and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me."
We come, each of us, the child of God.
Jesus said, "It is to such as these that the reign of God belongs."
We come to recognize that each child is already part.
Please join us in our hymn of praise, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus," number 277. this time, I would like to ask Colin Stumpfer to come forward. He will lead us in our affirmation of faith.
Please join me in saying the affirmation of faith. We believe in God, the loving Father and friend to all, creator of all living things. He is like a big kid, helping people to be nice to each other and encouraging us to do the right things so that we might live with God. We believe in Jesus, who died on the cross, who put in his room and was risen for us. He is loving and caring Savior. He has friends called disciples who we can learn from so that we can be disciples also. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, symbolized by a dove. We see the Holy Spirit in surprising ways, like the Jesus in the wilderness, in everyday families, like our church, and in our community. Amen. As we enter a time of prayer, I'd like to call your attention to the names in our bulletin. Charlie Ward Sr., Annette Crawford, Laura Stennett, Mary Jane Patton, Clifford Smith, Marilyn Thompson, Larry Brown, Hilda Parr, and Georgia Sowers. Lexi Bowes will lead us in our morning prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all, for our parents, for our brothers and sisters, our church family, and all leaders. Help us to follow your will, and please forgive us of our sins. Help us to love each other more and grow in our faith. In Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. And join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, glory forever.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God. y'all doing this morning? Well, good. Today we're going to use our imagination. We've all got good imaginations. I know you got a real good imagination over there. Imagine, to start with, like Acolyte Kirby, you're all wearing robes just like she's got. You might have a brightly colored sash around your waist, brightly colored headscarf on, but you're all sitting there in white robes. And we imagine that we look down the aisle, and coming down that aisle is Jesus. So you make room in the middle, and Jesus comes and sits down with us. Now, Jesus so enjoyed sitting right there with you and talking to you and teaching you. That was just something that he really liked. You know, he might do something kind of crazy. He might start off with a joke. Well, you know, the little shepherd boy was tending his flock. Well, that shepherd boy talks to the sheep. And he says, "Hey, sheep, guess what? I've been learning magic. Will you check out this trick that I've got and tell me what you think about it?" Okay. Alibaba, Abracazam. What do you think about that, sheep? Bad. But Jesus taught us so many ways with so many different parables. He might use his sheep. He might use a little pebble. He might use a fish. Or he might use us. You know, one of the things that Jesus loved to do in his teaching was to make sure he got all the kids involved. And we are so thankful this morning, and I know he would be too, for those of you that are helping, because you're teaching us. Well, one of the things Jesus might have said to you is, "I love these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." So can I get your help? Okay, let's all repeat that together, okay? All right, so I'm going to give it to you now. I need the hand motions, okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus had so many things to teach us. And he went out and taught every kid. So I'm going to give a prayer, and I need you to bow your heads. I need us all to say it together, okay? Dear Lord, help us to love others as we love ourselves. Let us continue to teach and continue to learn for all the life you give us. We love you.
We love you.
Amen.
Will our ushers please come forward for the morning offering? As they're coming forward, Lexi Bowes will join us again to help us lead the prayer and pray for the blessings of this offering.
Father, bless these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
The great above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Please join us in a hymn of meditation, Jesus Loves Me, number 191.
Seated as Kirby Odell reads our scripture for this morning.
Today's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kirby. Thank you, dear. The title of this morning's sermon is Be a Kid Again. Sometimes when those kids come forward and we hear the music, we kind of want to follow up here and sit right up here. So this morning, we're going to have our own children's moments for just a second. Great. Just makes you want to get up and run, doesn't it? Yeah. I want everybody to just kind of humor me for just a second. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. And I want you to think of that childhood memory. When you were a kid, was it going to the beach on family vacation, or for those of us of many years, buying penny candy at the store, those of us that can remember that? Maybe it was swinging on a rope swing in the backyard. What was it? Now open your eyes. Tell me, how did you feel when you had that childhood memory come to mind? Felt kind of good, didn't it? You know, compared to our lives now, our lives were pretty simple back then. We didn't think so, but they were. But sometimes we might have thought that we were a little insignificant when we were kids, except to our friends, they were the best. In this morning's scripture, we're going to look at three times Jesus shows what he really thinks about kids and how significant they really, really are. Now, we can go through the Old Testament and we can find passage after passage about children and how important they really are. Raising children to love God and to worship him, we can find that in Deuteronomy. And in Psalm 127, we learn that children are a heritage from the Lord. Exodus, instructions to children that they should obey the instruction of the parents. But it's in the Gospels. It's in the Gospels that we find and we discover Jesus' heart for children. He's kind with them, voicing their place in his kingdom. He's also passionate about protecting them. And Jesus also shows how compassionate he is toward the very essence of children. At first, in Matthew chapter 18, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" We've heard that before. At this point, Jesus has already predicted his death once to the disciples, but they were still thinking the Messiah was here to set up his earthly kingdom. So, we have to ask, what would have caused the disciples to ask such a question of Jesus? This is an easy one to answer. They had been arguing amongst themselves, who is greater? They couldn't settle the argument. So they decided to go to the master to get the argument settled. So what did Jesus do? Beginning in verse 2 of that chapter, it says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. What was Jesus telling the disciples? They knew Jesus had handpicked them. Jesus knew these would be the individuals who would carry on his ministry after he was gone. But Jesus also knew, as leaders of his ministry, they would fall prey, just as they were in their argument, to putting themselves on pedestals, thinking that they were really more important than they really were. Jesus was telling them in good old Arkansas English, get off your high horse. He had told them previously that he had came to serve and not be served. He was telling them in no uncertain terms that children are the example of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here was this child in the crowd that was following Jesus and the 12. Likely, the child's parents were also in that crowd. We think about the message when we read this passage of what Jesus was telling the disciples. But look at what message he was telling the child. Jesus first called the child to himself, and he placed his hands on the child. Then he put the child in the middle, the place of honor in the disciples. Children in the first century were seen and not heard. This child wasn't arguing about how great it was going to be. The child only wanted to follow Jesus, the Messiah that it had heard about as it was growing up in the teachings from its mother. And the parents and the onlookers saw and heard what was going on with the disciples. Jesus' message wasn't just to the disciples, it was to everyone who heard that day. The great impact of Jesus' message, and to serve one another, and to become as a child. We all need to be more childlike, and not so much like the disciples in being childish. We all, from time to time, as we did this morning, we need to close our eyes and think about the complete childlike faith, that we had when we first came to a saving knowledge of Christ. We also see in Matthew, secondly, how passionate Jesus is about protecting children. In verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, Jesus continues to talk about children, saying, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. When Jesus had something important to say, he used hyperbole. Or, as we would say the term today, he used shock and awe. This was the way Jesus communicated. And he communicated the sheer magnitude of some of his messages. When he was trying to get across something that he really wanted to say. In the Sermon on the Mount, we see hyperbole there when Jesus says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off and throw it away. That's certainly one way to look at it. The better way is get control of that right hand. Jesus knows the sinful nature of man because in verse 7, as I just read, he said, such things must come. He knows people didn't go around picking on the strong. He knew they picked on the weak. And the weakest in society at that time were the children. Jesus is passionate about protecting the weak. And he uses this child he calls out of the crowd to make his point. With his hands, his very hands, on this child, he issues a warning about human behavior, knowing from the Garden of Eden that we sometimes fall to temptation, the temptation to mistreat others and make them feel less important than they really are, to make ourselves feel more important. But when it comes to temptation, we're all responsible for our own behavior. But here, Jesus wants his listeners to understand the dangers of being the vehicles for that temptation. If any of this behavior leads innocent children away, as we just read, it would be better to be tossed in the depths of the sea than to have to face the judgment of Jesus. He is the passionate defender of children. Jesus shows us how important children are in his kingdom. And he shows us passionate for protecting them. Thirdly and lastly, let's look at how compassionate he is with the lives of children. For that, we turn to chapter 9 of Matthew. Verses 22 through 26, we read, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. This girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. During Jesus' ministry, he raised three people from the dead. One was, of course, Lazarus, whom Jesus loved. Another, if you remember, was a young man in a town of Nain. When Jesus got caught up in a funeral procession, and he saw the mother's grief, and he felt for her. And he raised her son because of his compassion. In the third case, now get this and picture this, a synagogue leader named Jairus came to Jesus because his daughter was sick and near death. This leader waited until the very last moment to call on Jesus. And he begs Jesus to come and do something. But by the time Jesus gets there, the girl had already died. Jesus told the crowd the child was not dead and to go. They laughed, chuckled, and they went outside. In that time, that day and time, child mortality was very, very high. But Jesus was moved that day, as he was moved in the funeral procession, by two things: a devout Jewish synagogue leader's faith in him, and this young girl's untimely death. He was so moved, he intervened, restoring the child's life. In doing so, Jesus demonstrates how he feels, not only about the position that children have in his kingdom, and not about protecting them, but also how he feels about the very life of what society of the time considered insignificant. How important are children to Jesus? How important is childlike faith to Jesus and his kingdom? To answer this, I want to point something out to you from this morning's scripture as Katie read. In verse 16, she read, "And he took the children in his arms, placing his hand on them and blessed them." Many times we see paintings of this scene where Jesus is sitting there and he has the child on his lap. But if we could look at the Greek translation and understand Greek, and if anybody in here does, I'm probably going to butcher this word. But in the Greek, in Mark's gospel, we see the word enenkalizo. Enenkalizo. Get this. And it means to place a little one's head to rest on the bend of one's arm. Now picture that in your mind. These children were not resting on the lap of Jesus. These children were resting in the very arms of Jesus. In the same fashion a loving mother holds her child, a child completely and totally dependent on the one holding them. The child feels secure. The child feels safe and absolutely trusts as they look into the loving eyes of their parent. Jesus wants us to have this childlike faith in him. He wants us to trust in him, his passion for us, and his compassion for us. On this children's Sabbath, let's all be a kid again and crawl up into the lap of our Savior, rest in the crook of his arm, and look into his loving eyes with complete trust, feeling secure, and knowing that we have received new life from him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 558. We are the church. I invite us all to stand and sing with that joy that we had when we were a kid. If you'd like to come forward and spend some time with our Lord at the prayer rails, they are always open. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, I'd be honored to pray, do that. You'd like to join with this faith family, now's the time for you to come forward. And I will greet you, and we will pray, and we will welcome you, along with our senior pastor who is here, into this faith family. So please, everyone, stand and sing hymn number 558.
The church is not a building. I invite you to take that feeling that you had this morning when you were a kid. Find that joy inside your heart. But more importantly, let's look back at the joy that we had when we opened our eyes after we prayed, asking Christ to come into our life and to be our Savior. That's the joy that we need to leave this sanctuary with. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, we thank you for the joy, true joy that comes from you. We love you because you first loved us. Bless all of the children this day, and bless us as big kids today as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.